Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In the book of Judges, we read of the rises and the falls of the Israelite people. They went through cycles. They began by serving God and becoming rich and sinful, turning to idols, and then God would chastise them and allow them to be overrun by their enemies. But under this hardship, the people would repent and cry unto the Lord, and God would select and raise up one called a judge to lead the people from their servitude of their enemies and bring independence among them once again. They would return to serving God, only to shortly see themselves living sinful lives once again in their abundance, blinding them as to the source of their true blessings. And over it went through that long history of Israel, particularly during the period of the judges. And we read of one of those judges in the book of Judges, chapter 6 through 8, whose name was Gideon. Reading what is said of this man, we see the working of God and man together. We see a man who was first filled with doubts and weaknesses, and also later a man with strengths. We see God's power and the way that God answers man's questions. And basically, man and God are the same now as they were then, and in their relationship with each other, so we can expect to find abundant spiritual guidance as we observe the life of Gideon. The story of Gideon begins with Israel under the yoke of the Midianites. They had been forced to make their homes in mountains and caves. They had been driven from their cities. The Midianites persecuted them by plowing under their crops and killing their livestock. Judges 6 and verse 6 says, "And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." The Lord sent an angel to Gideon. "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Well, Gideon's response to this greeting was, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles that our fathers told us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and destroyed us into the hands of the Midianites." Well, Gideon missed the mark badly. He failed to note that Israel had sinned and was simply reaping what they had sown. He failed to remember that the righteous often suffer because of the wickedness of the evildoer. And he acted as if the cause of their trouble was God, not Israel's sins. Gideon was not always perceptive in his thinking, nor always a man of courage and faith and noble action. In fact, when we first meet him, we see a bitter and resentful man, doubting God, questioning God's power, blaming God for their plight rather than the real cause. He is complaining against God, badly misunderstanding and feeling unfairly mistreated. He was not different from what many are today. People are often frustrated and they ask why this exists and why that happens, and they doubt and they blame God. The devil bombards them, as he did Gideon, with situations and circumstances that take advantage of our weaknesses and create doubt toward God. How many thoughtless souls are deceived by such satanic devices? And sure enough, Israel was in a deplorable state of affairs. The angel said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" In other words, the angel told Gideon, rather than arguing with Gideon as to who was at fault, he tells Gideon there was something he could do about it. Gideon had the opportunity to remedy the situation about which he was complaining. As so many react in this situation, Gideon, having complained, now begins to make excuses why he should not do anything about it. He demonstrated no faith, no responsibility whatsoever. Verse 15 of chapter 6 reads, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." He says in substance, "I can't do anything about it. Why me? I'm the last one you should expect to act." Many doubting, frustrating, and complaining people who seek explanations, recognizing that situations are not as they should be, but when they're asked to assist in remedying the problems, they act like Gideon did here. But the Lord promised to be with him, And he gave him a sign to confirm that promise. He says, "Surely I will be with thee," verse 16. And in this way, God encouraged Gideon and revived his dying and doubtful faith. And by his word, friend, God still bolsters our faith. God then gave Gideon an assignment. This is what he said, "And it shall come to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of the 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down." There evidently was much idol worship still continuing in the land. Gideon took 10 men, and he did as the Lord commanded. His actions created a great fervor round about, but he obeyed the Lord. Let us center our attention on what Gideon did. There are 4 significant accomplishments this action of destroying the altar to Baal produced. First, that which deserved to be destroyed was destroyed. Secondly, that which needed to be built was built. And third, opportunity was given to Gideon to use the encouragement and newly revived faith he had, because from this time forward, there are no words of doubt or complaint from Gideon, and he ceased his excuses. He had become personally involved in doing something about the deplorable state in Israel. While he was inactive and complaining, he was filled with doubt. And when he began doing what needed to be done, he became committed, and all the former darkness was dissipated by the light of doing good. There was no more room for skepticism. And fourth, this performance of a relatively minor task equipped him for a larger and more significant task that would affect the entire nation of Israel. Beginning with 32,000 men, which was reduced by the Lord to 10,000 and then later reduced to 300, Gideon and those 300 drove the Midianites from Israel, and Israel became a free people once again. They returned to serving the Lord. It is when men perform small deeds well that God entrusts to them the larger ones. To be able to do big things, we first must learn to do well the small things. We could be better servants if we would learn this. And what was accomplished by Gideon's action? It needs to be accomplished again and again in principle, in our own time, individually and collectively. Friend, we need to war against evil wherever it raises its ugly head. We need to build in order to do good, returning people to God. We sorely need to get active and to do something about our faith. We should be involved in specific works of Christian labor. And just being churchgoers is not enough. We must cease to be just pew fillers and observers and spectators. We must become participants in the work of the Lord. By doing whatever task we can, we will equip ourselves for greater service. And in this way, we become qualified to grasp opportunities that may arise in the future. We should never look disparagingly upon small things. One of Zechariah's condemnations of Israel was that some had come to despise the day of small things, Zechariah 4:10. The Lord did not commission Gideon to the larger work before he had proved himself in lesser matters. You know, some only want to do what is big and noisy and sensational, might bring them some kind of notoriety. Well, this is not the attitude that God wants of his servants. Now, there are many and great and wonderful and noble people and women of the Bible, men and women, of whom we can read and study, and from whom we receive encouragement, and we can learn exceptionally profitable lessons. Well, we need to imitate their godly characteristics, and surely Gideon is among them. He proved to be a man of humility, a man of courage and faith and leadership, and a man of obedience. He was not always such a person, though, was he? He grew to that disposition. From a complaining skeptic, he went on to become one of the respected and godly leaders of God's people, setting aside excuses, getting active in doing what God wanted, diligent in what was set before him to do, and seizing every opportunity for righteousness. Shall we try to do likewise? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.